This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Bernstein and Harris.
Make it sexy.
Caleb's success is going to be my success and vice versa. And so we truly are married in a way.
Marriage is on. This is what we call the honeymoon, Dan. The marriage between Ben Johnson and the Bears. The marriage between Ben Johnson and a quarterback he has yet to start actually coaching. They're just talking a lot.
I've never seen you so mental over a girl before. You going to marry her?
Garth. Marriage is punishment for shoplifting in some countries.
And then soon he'll get to the point where somebody says something, the other person says, what? And the other person says, the person says, if you're going to talk to me, just come into the same room.
Stop projecting,
and,
Dan.
Instead of yelling from upstairs, or just text me. And then it's, what do you want for dinner? I don't know. So they've got a long way to go.
The projection is just...
I'm just telling him.
Why don't you just tell me the name of the movie you want
exactly.
to see?
If you know the name of the movie you'd like to see, press 1.
Kramer? Is that you?
Blank.
What time does Chow Fun start?
I don't know.
It would be nice if you could pick up my prescription before 6 when the pharmacy closes. I say, are you asking me to pick up your prescription? Or are you saying it would be nice?
Well, you see, marriage is a lot like an orange. First, you have the skin, then the sweet, sweet innards.
I don't understand.
If I wanted to see a man eat an orange, I would have taken the orange eating class.
The Bernstein and Harris Show, middays 10 till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Bernstein and Harris with you on this lovely Thursday with all kinds of things for you. Plenty of football. There, the Bears once again are the it team at the combine, but for different reasons. We are going to bring you a conversation with Jim DeShays at 11 o'clock, with Pat Forty at 12:25, and Chris Emma at 1. Don't forget High Noon coming your way. At least from my perspective, it's just going to be a celebration of the life of Gene Hackman, who passed away at age 95. The guy's been retired from acting for 21 years. And we still think of him, and we still look at this entire body of work. And he's taken, he hasn't worked in 21 years. And we still have this amazing, amazing
career. Of course, because Enemy of the State exists.
Of maybe the best ever to do it. We also have a pair of tickets for the Cubs Watch Party, the season opener Watch and Listen Party with Mully and Haw at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage for Cubs Dodgers in Tokyo. You have to be listening for your chance to win that. We've got Ray Diaz, Adam Studzinski. We don't have Ray Diaz. He's not even there.
We have Tyler Farrengold. I was going to tell you, yeah.
I know. I looked, and I realized he's not here. So we have Adam Studzinski, Tyler Farrengold, Brandon Fryer, Matt Anaya, Connor O'Donnell, and Jenna Duddleston doing their stuff. And it's like every time we look at the group chat now, it's Ben Johnson said this, Ben Johnson said that. What did Ben Johnson say? Wow, who did he sit down with next? Ben Johnson talks to Piers Morgan. Ben Johnson talks to Caitlin Collins. Ben Johnson talks to Scott Pelley. Everybody's getting
a piece. If he's talking to those people, we have problems.
I'm telling you. No, there's no problem.
It's just a matter of time at this point,
everybody.
Right?
Gail King. Everybody is sitting down with him. Graham Bensinger. They're doing.
That's coming. The Graham Bensinger is definitely
you
coming.
You know, it's just going to be, man, fun. It's all his world.
Is it
world.
Fun, though? Is it fun? Because
yes.
I would argue that it's interesting. And of course, from our perspective, content is always good, right? From our perspective, as people who every day talk about what people are talking about, share our opinions on what they're saying. But at the same time, I'm kind of reaching my max with Ben Johnson at this stage.
Stop talking hockey.
Here's why. Because nothing's really happening right now.
So what? It's the Bears coach out? That's the Bears coach being cool.
That's cool. Listen.
You don't like it.
That's cool. I think there's a lot of interesting things that he's saying. I'm not arguing that. What I am saying is maybe you don't have to do every single interview that is offered your way. Maybe you don't
have
to
say. What's the downside?
The downside is you say things that people take as bulletin board material. That's one.
Good. Let the Bears be that. What do the Bears say? Go ahead. Go ahead and be motivated to play the Bears because it's something their coach said.
Did you hear the stray his former quarterback caught when he's talking about trick plays in Penei Sewell? Did you catch that?
Just because of the mobility?
I felt like that was very tongue-in-cheek, where he was talking about Penei Sewell throwing dimes when they were running the play in practice. I felt that was like he was ribbing a guy that's a friend of his.
Jared Goff.
No, he said he was clearly joking.
Okay, even
like,
if he
was
joking.
Like, there was clearly a joke.
Have you ever taken offense to something that someone else said that was a quote-unquote joke?
Well, don't be so soft then.
Oh, come on.
Okay.
The Bears head coach is saying this stuff. I think it's fun as hell. I don't think there's any downside whatsoever.
You know why? You know why you think it's fun? Because you've had such little fun associated with this team. You're just grasping at straws. You'll take anything.
I just think it's fun. I like him. I'm happy they hired him. I think he's smart. I think he's clever. I think this is the kind of guy that people want to play for.
Oh, okay, cool.
I don't think there's any actual downside.
Dan, that's cool right now. But if he, I think we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but if he goes turtle and pops back into his shell once the rubber hits the road, you're going to be like, where's that guy from the combine that was talking?
Oh, believe me, I will. But I don't expect that to be the case. If he's like who is the guy, Nick Swisher? That's the Nick Swisher rule.
What is the Nick Swisher rule?
When everything's good, there's not a single camera or microphone that he doesn't want to find. And then when the strikeouts start piling up,
the cameras and microphones can't find him.
Gone. Disappears
into the wind,
and then his teammates know it, and the manager knows it, and everybody's like, "Okay, what happened to Mr. Happy? Put myself out there, frat bro." And then he's just gone.
I think Bears fans want their coach to be better. I think the players want their coach to be. We know that from the report card that the players want their coach to be better. 32 out of 32 teams, they were the 32nd. He had the 32nd. Highest rating, which is dead last, Matt Eberflus, the last coach. And so I think we compare to the basement, anything's going to be better, right? But what I'm saying is I don't want this to be a Kid Icarus situation where he's flying too close to the sun because nothing's actually happened yet.
Fine, but so let him do that, though. I don't think it's going to make him a better coach or a worse coach.
I think he's done that, though. I think he's done enough. I think the tone has been set, okay? Is that fair that the tone has been set?
No, keep talking.
Okay, keep talking. Talk that talk.
Yes, this is the Bears doing it.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
There's no actual downside.
Who's always, the last 3 years, who's been the offseason champs?
Right, because it's not because their coaches talk too much.
No,
it's because
no.
They have the top pick.
I'm saying they've had the top pick. So now they don't. So now all the focus is on the new head coach, shiny new object.
It's also a crappy draft.
Now maybe that's part of the reason that we and others continue to focus on everything that Ben Johnson is saying.
Well, I'm focusing on it because I'm excited to have him.
I'm excited to have him too. Not for myself, but for all these tortured Bears fans that just want something different, something better. I get it. And anything, let's be honest, anything would have been better in theory. Now you have a guy that you're paying all this money to, and he's talking that talk. He better be able to back it up. That's all I'm saying.
Isn't that assumed? That he better be able? I think that's part of the joy of this, is we're confident that he will back it up.
I think you're more confident than I am that he'll back it up.
He was number one on your list.
He was number one on my list. He still got to coach the team.
Well, I know.
Caleb Williams still has to be able to get out of the huddle.
Obviously.
He's got to get his cadence down.
But it doesn't mean we can't enjoy this. Those are different things. We'll worry about that when it's time for that.
Okay, so now we're just in a gloating period of time?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, why? What's the point if we can't get excited and happy about this?
I think
this?
You can get excited without...
Oh, sorry, Marshall, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I think you can get excited without taking it to the extremes to which it seems like he's taking it. And maybe he's done talking. Maybe he's done talking now. It's been a couple of days of interview after interview after interview.
I just like the fact that he's saying yes. Say, you want to talk? Yeah, sure. I don't know. It's better than somebody just doing their perfunctory checking of boxes and grumbling through an interview and then going back to a dark film room. He's enjoying it.
And trust me, it's counterintuitive for me as a member of the media. For my entire adult career, I've been a member of the media to be like, maybe you shouldn't say as much. I've always been like, yo, tell me the truth. Let me know what you want. But as someone who has seen how this has gone for, and I know we've allegedly turned the corner on what it means to be Bearsy, the Bearsness of it all. I hope for this city that that is the case. I really do. But I think there's a certain humility that could come along with.
Bull crap.
No.
Bull crap.
No. No modesty. Okay.
My question is, do you think he's being cocky in any of these interviews?
I think there's a borderline thing. I mean, he gave us the service with the Packers talk in the introductory, which I was fine with because, you know, that was, whether you want to call it performative or not, he stated facts. He has a winning record against the Green Bay Packers as the offensive coordinator. I get it. The references,
as do the Bears in 2025.
Bears are perfect in 2025, right? 1-0?
Only team in the NFC North with an undefeated record in 2025. I'm just saying.
Right. No, I get it. But at the same time, as you kind of evaluate what this means going forward, and I like a cautious approach. And I know you don't. I'm saying.
I just don't think. Why not have fun with a coach?
Have fun without taking it to the extremes that I feel like
we're headed.
Taking,
he's not taking it to any extremes. He's just talking. He's just answering questions.
Okay.
He's just answering questions. I don't think he's saying we're going to win 15 games or we're going to stomp your dongs in the dirt. He's not out there making promises. I think his actual answers have been very conservative. We would like to have players who do this. Our goal is to have an offense that does this. I really don't think he's promised anything. I just think he's been sort of ubiquitous, because why not?
If there was ever a time you were going to do it, I would say it's after you win. The next best time to do it is before anything's actually happened. So you're right in that respect. You could talk how he's talking after you've, I don't know, had a winning record.
He's not, what do you say, talk like he's talking. The actual things he's saying is not as if he's never coached a game, let alone won one.
That's my point.
Right.
I think
he's confident.
Maybe I feel like he's being a little overconfident. Just like, yo, let the game come to you. You don't have to talk as much. He could talk. But maybe some of the things, like I said, the shot, it's been a lot of mention of like the Detroit Lions, his former team. And maybe you just stay away from that. Don't give anyone in your division even more reason to put that bulletin board material up.
NFL players. I don't think they're gonna put a picture of Clubber Lang on their mirror and just I'm gonna try really hard this game because of something this guy said in February. I mean, come on.
But my point is, I didn't say he was necessarily talking too much. I said maybe it's time for him to stop. Maybe, like he could curb it at some point. And will he? I guess that's my concern, is he's not gonna curb this cavalier. Just, I'll talk to you about anything and say anything. And I want to say this. I've appreciated a lot of things that he has said. I thought he was hilarious when he was talking about what he would give up to win a Super Bowl. You know, that this is funny talk. Who was it?
Yeah, I just like the fact that he's saying yes to these interviews. Rather than be like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I'm worried about this. I'm not confident. It just shows a great deal of confidence to be able to say, sure, ask me whatever you want to ask me.
And to be like fully clear, all the interviews he did are on Tuesday. I haven't found anything that was from Wednesday.
So maybe I'm just now catching up with all the interviews. It was a lot of interviews.
There's a lot of interviews. Ben Johnson's made my job extremely easy this week.
You know, they call it the car wash, but you know, there's different levels of car wash, right? You can go get your gas and just go through the car wash. Or you can do like the super duper, you know, where they do everything, they come in. He's doing the full detail of a car wash. I think we can agree to that, right, Dan? Compared to what other coaches are doing and how they spent the combine, he's doing everything. He said no to nothing.
Right.
So
I just don't. I don't see.
Hopefully that was a one-off. That's all I'm saying.
Why?
Because you can get yourself in trouble talking.
Then let him.
Okay.
I think he's a grown man who's confident in his ability to talk.
He is a grown man. He's a grown man who could squat 405 is what I learned from listening to some of these interviews.
He's letting us in. He's doing stuff that it's all that we ever ask of coaches is to, hey, be real, be yourself. Don't be one of these goofball coachy coaches. And if you want to say, hey, he hasn't yet. But if they eventually want to say, hey, the Chicago Bears are coming to kick your ass, I'm here for it.
I don't know. What's up yours?
How much can you squat again, Dan?
I have no idea. I mean, hell, the formative years of becoming a fan of this team is because that's what the Bears did. They were recording music videos telling you they were going to win the damn Super Bowl.
And then they did.
In the middle of December.
And then they did.
Yeah, I'm just saying, this idea of humility. Nobody who rooted for this team in their days of greatness wanted to be humble. I'm going to beat the crap out of you and get on to the next one.
As long as you're doing that, when was the last time they beat the crap out of somebody?
But I'm saying, but that's what we're getting excited for, those possibilities.
I'd rather wait till that happens.
I wouldn't. I'll be even more excited when it does happen. But if somebody is do this is the point of being a fan.
That's fair.
I'm saying this is why, if we can't get excited about the Bears coach out there with a smile on his face and saying yes to everybody, then I mean this is why we like sports, is when our teams are the teams that are doing this. And if they want to go out and back it up by beating everybody up and making everybody feel good about themselves in a miserable otherwise human existence. Man, I got enough.
You really had to bring that up. Huh?
I got enough to be miserable about. Believe me.
If it gives you joy, Dan, I'm happy for you.
All right. Next up, let's hear more from Ben Johnson because he's putting it all out there. Got granular with some of the Caleb stuff, and we are beginning to hear some of the same things. And take notes about when you hear certain specific skills and objectives mentioned when he talks about the Bears quarterback. Next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Bernstein and Harris.
Jarrett Payton.
Marshall, you've done a really, really good job.
Middays, Tindall 2.
You guys have become the perfect match, man. It is so much fun to listen to.
There's probably some steps skipped in the very beginning, just in terms of building the foundation.
Gotcha.
Some of the things that you have to have and what I believe to operate at a high level in this league, even as a rookie. And I think that was accelerated probably a little bit much.
Yeah, Ryan Poles sharing his thoughts from the combine where he and an army of bear staffers are trying to figure out who's doing what and how well for the next few days, Dan. And, you know, the focus really hasn't been on the draft because, you know, Ben Johnson keeps talking. So we haven't had as much of him perhaps saying, you know, who they're going to take. Not like he's going to share state secrets or anything, but when Ben Johnson's talking as much as he has, all the focus is really going to be on that. And maybe it's a nice little, you know, opportunity for them to not distract, but certainly give something else for us to talk about. And Ben Johnson has not disappointed, whether he's talking about how much he squats or the fact that he would give up a testicle for a Super Bowl championship.
Not one of his, though.
No, that's what they asked him, what body part. He said it was the question that had been proposed about, would you sacrifice a Bears fan's life for a Super Bowl championship? And he said, what if I just give up a body part of mine? And then he says, okay. He has...
Well, I mean, that's stuff.
He has three kids, so he doesn't need one of his testicles.
I'm much more interested in...
And that's probably another reason why he should stop talking so much. Because stories of that.
It doesn't bother me. Like I said, there's no downside to it if he just wants to try to get out there and have fun and make headlines. He was with CBS Sports, however, getting really specific about Caleb Williams' first season. Because remember, he said that they were going to sit down and watch the first season together. The first season of this particular show, and
Supercut.
They were gonna. It sounded like every play,
right.
And that they were gonna listen to. They say, "What's in your head here? What are you being told?" Because they've got to go back sort of forensically and figure out what all those mistakes were too, and say, "Well, we're not doing it this way. We're not doing it that way. You didn't see this right, and here's why." So this is his discussion of how they can improve their quarterback.
He had a solid rookie year. You know, there were ups, there were downs. When you watch the tape, the talent flashes each and every single game. I think he grew as a player from the start of the season to the end. And what I'm encouraged about is we're going to get a very coachable version of Caleb going forward. If you look back at it, really, it was probably the least successful year he's had as a quarterback for a long time, if ever. And so he is determined to be a great one in this league. And so I'm really encouraged with the fact that he's going to come in here this springtime, open arms, and be willing to learn everything that we can possibly load up on him. What are tweaks one and two that you want to make with him, whether it be mechanics, X's and O's, the sort of scheme that you're going to have in there? What are, when you were watching the film of the Chicago Bears, when you were going against them and watching Caleb, what are a couple of top-level things that you got to go in there and work on? Listen, it all starts before the snap, in my opinion, with the quarterback position. And so when you look at it, it did not always look natural for him going from the college offense to more of a huddle procedure, get up motions, shifts, cadence. And so little things like that, I think naturally it's going to slow down immensely for him going into year two, but we're going to look to put a little pressure on him that way so that we can speed up that process. Once we get that down, then we'll load him up with volume of pass concepts and things of that nature.
Again, college offense to huddle procedure. Snap counts, motions, shifts, cadence.
I love that it's all organized. I love that it's repetitive. I love that the message is crystal clear. He knows, and I'm sure they've already talked about this to a degree, right? But the fact that it's being hammered home through the media, everybody understands this is the page that we are on. That's not just a message for us. That's not just a message for the fans. That's a message not just for Caleb Williams, but for the entire offense. Think about how frustrated those members of the offense were last season at different points of the season, right?
Starting in training camp
with
this stuff.
Yes. And they didn't address it. And that's why I wish I knew when Ryan Poles said, you know, we skipped steps or however what he said. This is evidence that they're focused on this thing to be corrected more than anything else.
Put all this stuff together. When we saw on the NFLPA survey that Matt Eberflus was finished last among all head coaches, in large part because he didn't listen to the players and he didn't listen to the leadership council. What were the players and the leadership council telling him early in the season?
Accountability.
But specifically with the offense, the quarterback, and everything that was going on with the problems they were having doing these things. Everything that they talked about, right, all the hiccups in training camp that everybody could see in the open parts of practice where they couldn't get plays in properly, everything was disjointed because of huddle procedure, snap count, cadence, motions, shifts. This has been, the fact that this was so pervasive and on Ryan Poles' watch, like, why wasn't this fixed? And it makes me retroactively unhappy to know that, like, this was going on. The players were shouting it from the rooftops that this all needed to be fixed.
It's funny because when we hear about the players talking about accountability throughout the season, right? At first, I'm like, well, which players are they talking about? And you hear maybe it's the quarterback and they're not holding him accountable. But at the end of the day, you know who it was they were talking about? They were talking about the head coach. The head coach is not being accountable for holding people accountable. The head coach is not being accountable for the decisions he made in-game. It all went like a flow chart back to Matt Eberflus.
Yes. Yes. Everything led back to Powdered Toast Man. And finally, man, they decided that he was done. And But it always say this. It comes out after the fact, and which is why when players do start to say things, and when captains start to say, oh, maybe this, maybe that, when Cole Kmet can't wait to pull up a reporter aside and go, this sucks, and this sucks, and this sucks, and DJ Moore is like, I don't know, man, I don't know. Like that's our job, to try to tell you, listen to what they're saying, listen to what this all means. It means there are enormous problems here. And it took them too long to get some of this stuff fixed. You know, we had a bunch of people yesterday who, when we were talking about huddle procedure, and texts were like, who cares how they break the huddle? Who cares
what
about any of this stuff? I'm telling you.
I missed that text.
That sounds like high school. Yeah.
Yeah, well.
and that's why it's not high. It's the opposite of that. High schools don't teach the same amount of nuance to diagnosing what a defense is going to do. In the NFL, from the moment you break the huddle and you look across, there are things to be learned. And all the great quarterbacks start on a, they're taught how to start learning these things. Some never get it. Some are just too unaware and too bad or too dumb. But some who aren't can say, where are they standing? Why are they standing there? When I motion somebody here, why did they move or not move? Who moved and why? Who moved over a gap? Who took a step backward? They're ahead of it. By the time the ball is snapped, as Tom Brady said, by the time the ball is snapped, he's got you. And that's where you want it to be. That's the stuff that Ben Johnson's talking about.
I think too many people, when they hear the term reading a defense and a quarterback can't read the defense, they think that they're talking about everything post-snap. But there's more than enough pre-snap to tell whether or not the quarterback is seeing things correctly and able to read what's in front of him.
Those are different times in the chess match. Post-snap is different. Usually, you can get a clue as to what post-snap is going to look like. But one thing that Caleb is going to have to learn is how to snapshot things. And if they're going to use more play action, and I understand why they didn't. I think the Bears ranked last in play action used. And part of that is asking a young quarterback who hasn't played in a pro-style offense to turn his back to the defense, to sell that fake, then to pick eyes up and know what he's seeing and why he's seeing it.
Yeah, you got to know where you're going to go. That's the bottom line.
But, and you have to know where the defense is trying to make you go, what they're trying to make you think you're seeing. And if they're going to use as much play action, I'll say this about Jared Goff. And I know that they're needling him and having fun with him and the whole thing, but Jared Goff is very good at that. Jared Goff is great at selling that fake, and he's great at coming out of the fake and having a good idea of what's in front of him.
It helps when you have a good running game that's a threat also when you're dealing with play action. So, again, back to the offensive line for the purpose of figuring things out going forward. We've got free agency, then we've got the actual draft, and that's going to be a large part in whether you're even going to be able to sell. Even if Caleb Williams is making the right decisions, if you don't have the personnel in front of him to get the job done, it's not going to matter.
Right, but even independent of that, you can with play action, you can make an average offensive line look really good.
You can make things happen that normally wouldn't happen.
You can buy a little bit of time. You can cause indecision. You can begin to win the timing battle even before a block is thrown. If you're doing it right, everybody lifts everybody. It isn't just, well, you got to keep us all clean back here to do what we have to do. If you've got a well-timed offense and a well-spaced offense, it makes the blocking easier. And if you know pre-snap where you're trying to build those open spaces, whether it is layers between the lines of the defense, over, you know, in front of the linebackers or over the linebackers in front of the safeties, back shoulder stuff where you're using routes to stretch the field and guys come back on their stems. By the time you come out of that fake, you've got to know I've got enough room or I don't have enough room to deliver this ball. And that's my expectation of why this could get so much better so quickly.
Yeah, I think some people would argue your expectation is complicated versus, or I'm sorry, too high versus a very simple, and this should be the basic expectation. And I think, yeah, that should be a basic expectation, which you just explained, with a guy like Ben Johnson now in charge, and he says he's got all his lieutenants and everybody he wants in place. This should go a certain way, and if it doesn't, that's telling.
We got a little bit of breaking news here. Breaking news on the scores brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. ESPN reports Cubs second baseman Nico Horner will not go to Japan with the team to open the season next month. He is still recovering from flexor tendon surgery, and he'll stay back to continue his rehab.
That was presumed on my end, but yeah, I understand it's official news. So now you've got no Matt Shaw, no Nico Horner. You need half an infield reserves to figure it out, which gives them some flexibility to figure out the back half of their or the back end of their roster. But at the same time, you need to have guys who are going to be good, especially when you're playing the Dodgers. Nobody's it. You're not playing just like nobody. You're playing the Dodgers.
This segment's brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. When we come back, Ben Johnson was asked about his energy level and just how it's like you're everywhere all at once. How is this going to translate to your actual coaching? So he talked about it. He talked about everything. So we'll talk about that next. Come on.
The Bernstein and Harris Show.
Emery Hunt, the owner of Football Game Plan. Where is this draft strong? Where is it weak? Where is it top heavy? Where is it deep?
It all depends. Dr. Seuss.
He
over
is
there.
Dr. Seuss. I wasn't going to call him out, Emery. I'm glad you did.
Spitting bars over here. We're talking.
Exactly.
I don't know about calling
bars.
Who
said Chicago rap is dead? You got, boy, you right there with Cobbin.
We don't encourage that.
Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
The juice, the precious juice.
Ben Johnson's bringing it. He's got plenty for you. Mentioned before that we're going to be giving away a couple of tickets to the special Mulligan Hall watch party for the Cubs opener. Well, we're also giving away a pair of tickets to see Neil Young perform live at the Huntington Bank Pavilion at Northerly Island Wednesday, August 27th. So be listening for your chance to win that as well. Yeah, Ben Johnson's been just an absolute ball of energy. And talking to everybody, answering every question, I think it's been great. He doesn't think it's been great. But I've loved every minute of it.
I want to be very clear. I think he's been fine, but he's talking a lot, and maybe that needs to stop now. Be curbed.
I disagree.
Go down a little bit.
I disagree.
Plateau, level off.
I don't think there's any reason for that. I think there's no downside to a coach being excited and having fun
and
everybody excited about their team. I'm not going to tell him to stop doing this because I think it's an absolute breath of fresh air.
I agree with almost everything you're saying. I'm just saying from my personal vantage point, it seems like he's talking the most.
Cool.
Oh, okay, and he hasn't done anything yet.
It's rare for a Bears coach to be this guy, and I celebrate it.
Okay.
And he was asked by CBS Sports about how much of this, what does this translate to as far as actual energy as a coach?
Are you a juice guy? Are you a big energy guy?
Yeah, I bring it out occasionally. Yeah, yeah. No, within the building, the people that know me, absolutely. Probably what you've seen, media sessions or on the field over the last few years, I've been a little bit more reserved and stoic. That's by design. But within the building, yeah, there's a little bit more personality than it might come out initially.
What about when you have the headset on, when you are the head coach of the Bears and it's week three? Are we going to see that personality on the sideline?
Maybe a little bit more than what you've seen in the past.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, look, no one's ever seen you head coach anything.
Are you a juice guy?
Juice cleanse, that's what this is.
I'm a juice cleanse guy. I believe in them.
I don't.
Yeah, you need to clean your body up every once in a while.
That's what your liver and kidneys are for.
Yes, you can also keep them at optimal level by giving them a little bit of a break.
Eh.
Okay.
I think your body's designed a certain way. I think if I have nothing but juice, I'm just going to be miserable.
A lot of people out here getting transplants and such.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you need one down the line, sure. I don't think drinking a bunch of juice is going to keep that from happening, if that's going to be happening.
It's not a bunch of, you make it sound like I'm drinking apple juice and orange juice. That's not what we're talking about here. But back to the bigger point.
Is it acai magic juice? What is it?
Acai like bowl?
Stuff like, in a blender, like wheatgrass
yeah, like
and
real
green things?
Stuff from the earth as opposed to processed stuff, yes.
Oh, I would just be in the bathroom all week. That would be.
Yeah, that's how it flushes it out. That's where stuff ends up. Yes.
Yeah, that's part of it. That's part of the cleanse.
It cleanses your body, as in flushes things out, including toxins and bad for you things. Maybe some of the grease from the Popeyes you had. Yeah,
no,
all that
Popeyes
stuff comes
cures
up.
What ails you.
That stuff.
All the bad stuff is scared of Popeyes.
Oh, that might be true too.
They don't want anything to do with that.
But. What we do want
is chicken.
You get enough salt and fat, you're fine.
The bottom line here for Ben Johnson is it's almost not scary, that's the wrong word, but like it's interesting that he's talking about how he holds back as a front facing face man, for lack of a better word, of the Chicago Bears compared to what will happen behind the scenes once he gets in front of his players and coaches and the team.
I mean, look, Dan Campbell is a force of nature. As a human being. So if his mentor, his more sort of academic coaching mentor is John Shoup, and he's said that. But if Dan Campbell is what he's emulating, that's not that easy to do. I mean, we always made fun of Dan Campbell in his, seven shots. What was his coffee drink?
It was a lot of shots. It was a total Mitch Rosen level shots.
More. It was a total of like 14 shots of.
He's also a large man, so I feel like the shots have a different effect on him.
You don't need it today. You don't need the extra coffee. Now with the pads on, so normal coffee today. And next cup of coffee will be out there when we do team runs. So this will be exciting. But yeah, can't wait. Yeah, well, normally what I do is I'll get two venti. I go to, you know, Starbucks and get two venti of the Pike with two shots in them. So black eye in both. That's what I come in with. That's how I start the day. So
Just so much coffee.
Yeah, that's two ventis with each with two extra shots.
It's 1,100 milligrams of caffeine.
Yep.
Black eye in both.
That sound effect was necessary. I do want to say that.
All right, man. Because that's awful. I don't know how you get to sleep.
And maybe Ben Johnson.
How much melatonin you need, or how many times you need to hit yourself over the head with a sledgehammer.
That's how he starts his day. That's up and at him, and let's go and roll. And he probably doesn't have caffeine after, you know, 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And then he can sleep because he's been busy and working hard.
I don't know about that. I bet he drinks more coffee.
You think? In the afternoon, he drinks as much as he does in the morning?
Yeah, some people aren't as affected by caffeine as other people are. Well, that's genetic.
It wears off, though, too, if you're used to it, if your body's just used to it. The effect of the espresso. Like, if I went and had coffee right now, I'd be bouncing off the walls like I've been drinking gummy berry juice. That's what would happen.
Yeah,
because I don't drink coffee.
There's a guy that I used to know who Of course, he died when he was like 54, but he was Italian and drank espresso all day. He grew up in Italy. But he was used to it. He was used to it until his heart exploded and he died.
Is that what happened?
I think so.
Oh, I was like, let's not speculate.
One day he wasn't there and it was.
But I do wonder.
I think he smoked a couple of packs a day too.
Related to this, and you bring up Dan Campbell, and that's a good point. He's been coaching under Dan Campbell for several minutes now. And so maybe he's bringing a little Dan Campbell with him to Chicago. And maybe that explains why he's so talkative and has so much to say and has no problem expressing himself, because he saw that work out pretty well so far for Dan Campbell.
Are you a juice guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. I'm not sure what you mean by that. Sure, if you want me to be. But if around the building, like, I would be more concerned about like constant energy level in the building than I am with the media. Like, is that you've had people in your life before who just are too much?
Yeah.
And you're just going to be like, hey, just not everything has got to be up here all the time. And I know you want energy in the building, but understanding that rhythm, the rhythm of the day, the routine, the practice day, once he gets into that, I'm confident that he'll have that figured out. That he's not going to be jumping up and down and cheerleading all the time.
I don't know that I'm confident or not confident. I just want to see how it plays out. I will measure it out once I see it and see what the players have to say and what he has to say.
Believe me, there were few Bears coaches more confident than Matt Eberflus. That guy could do one of the dumbest things you've ever seen on a football field, and he would stand there after the game and insist that he did it right.
It's the double down.
And everybody else is wrong.
And the triple down, like, and then later in the week, the quadruple down.
Yes, like stuff like that. Like, he wasn't lacking for... Eberflus's problem was not a lack of confidence. It was too much stupid.
The fact that he... And this got lost in the fact because he got fired, but the fact that the day after the Thanksgiving game, he was defending not using that timeout.
Yes.
Like, that got lost because of the bigger news of him getting fired.
I didn't lose it.
No. We
no.
We just didn't discuss it as much as it otherwise would have been discussed.
Like, it wasn't just that.
Because he was fired, an hour later?
Two hours later.
Even the Hail Mary. Oh, those yards didn't matter. The other team's coach just got finished saying how much they mattered.
As did the opposing players.
Right, we like what we did there. Like, that guy, that was a confident dude. But that is a confident ignoramus.
It's the building's looking where it is.
That's why those are good.
The overconfident ignoramus is a stock comedic trope. It's how Will Ferrell has six houses. It's how Sacha Baron Cohen has the overconfident ignoramus. Is an absolute comedy staple, and that's what Matt Eberflus was.
It's also become more prevalent and more worshipped in today's society, but that's neither here nor there.
Right, but it doesn't make it less funny. That's the point of some
funny
of this.
Funny till it's not.
It's right.
And I mean, if you're a Bears fan watching Matt Eberflus do it, it stopped being funny much earlier than, you know, the firing itself.
But I would urge, if anybody needs a way to cope with overconfident ignoramuses, laugh at them.
Ha-ha.
It makes you feel better.
Ha-ha.
Jim DeShays is going to talk Cubs next on The Score.